a business in my life. Problem-solving businesses. I call these wouldn't-it-be-good businesses, because we can probably all recall a time when we've said, wouldn't it be good if I could just buy, use, get some product or service that doesn't exist? When entrepreneurs find a gap in the market like that, their brains start whirring, and they start to find out if there's a market in the gap. Believe it or not, a woman once approached me with an idea for a business that she said solved a real problem. Wouldn't it be good, she said, if, when you stop at traffic lights, someone would come along and sell you a bottle of water? I had to tell her that this wasn't a business. It was just an idea, and a bad idea at that. However, sometimes we do encounter problems that alert us to real opportunities. When I had trouble getting daycare places for my kids, I realized there was a market to start a children's day nursery, and this was despite the fact that there were already 10 such nurseries in our town. When I broke my leg and needed to drive for half an hour to a gym with the right equipment to rebuild the muscles, I realized there was an opportunity to open a health club nearer my home. Most of the best business ideas we've seen in Dragon's Den have been ones that address a real need. Sometimes these are just slight improvements on existing products or services. Sometimes they involve revolutionary gadgets. So long as we can see that they solve real problems experienced by most people, we'll give these businesses consideration, because the best reason to start a business is because the customer needs it. If you already know what your business will be, then ask yourself, who needs it? How do you make your potential customers' lives easier or better? If you can come up with a good answer, then you're heading in the right direction. Copycat ideas. I wasn't the only guy selling ice cream in Stockton in the 1980s. I certainly wasn't the first person to open a health club, and Richard Branson wasn't the first guy to start an airline or a record company. There's no shame in copying someone else's business. However, I wouldn't be proud of my businesses if I didn't think I'd improved on the one I was copying. My day nurseries had facilities others didn't offer. Bathrooms next to the classrooms, so children didn't need accompanying to the loo. Ample parking for parents. Different play areas for different age groups. And my nursing homes were among the first in the country to provide private rooms with ensuite toilets. This significantly improved the quality of care we could offer and lifted us above the competition. When you study a business you're thinking of copying, you should always think about how you can make it better. I can't stress how important this is. Not only will it motivate you to prove that you're the best in your field, but it will enable you to overtake other companies in your sector. Things to look for. Cues. Either there's demand for a rival, or someone's service could be fine-tuned. What's missing? Most towns will have the same mix of businesses. Shops, gyms, restaurants, cinemas, etc. What's missing in your town? If you can't think of an obvious reason why it's missing, then maybe there's an opportunity. Who's in the neighbourhood? If your neighbourhood is predominantly home to pensioners, you don't want to be opening a nightclub, but a home help service might have plenty of waiting customers. Who's in the wrong location? Sometimes people start really good businesses in terrible locations. Could you move a struggling business to a new location and make it thrive? Who hasn't updated their stock in a long time? A business that hasn't moved with the times could be vulnerable if you opened an up-to-date rival. Part 2. Analyzing the idea. Coming up with ideas is the easy bit. Whoever said success was 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration was right. Ideas are cheap. Execution is everything. At this stage, I want you to use a little bit of quality control to check that your idea is worth taking further. Who else is doing it? The first thing to check is if anyone else is already doing what you're thinking of starting. Check your local phone directory. Google for similar companies. Make a note of every potential rival you find. If you intend to sell a product, search for it on sites like eBay and Kelku. See how many people are offering what you intend to bring to the market, and see how much they're charging for it. How does your product compare? Can you compete with them on price? Look at the ads in your local paper, or even in newsagents' windows. If you have a local chamber of commerce, phone them up, and tell them you want to find someone who can supply the thing you intend to offer, and see if they can give you the names of your rivals. Send an email to everyone you know casually, asking if anyone can recommend a good practitioner in the field you intend to enter. If they all email back and say, "No, but if you find one, be sure to let me know," then you should start to feel encouraged. Finding a rival doesn't mean you should give up. Quite the contrary, in fact, as competition can help you define where your business will fit into the marketplace. To do this, you need to get to know your rivals, and the best way to do this is to pretend to be a potential customer. Phone them up or visit them. Can they do everything you're thinking of doing? How good is their service? How do their products measure up? How keen are their prices? Finally, when you've identified your rivals, ask yourself why someone would choose to buy from you and not from them. What can you do differently? Consumers make choices based on price, convenience, location, quality, customer service, ethical considerations. If you can beat the competition on one, or ideally more, of those fronts, then it's worth pursuing your idea. If you can't, it's probably time to come up with another idea. Who are your customers? Never make the assumption that just because you'd like a reliable supply of tiddlywinks, that everyone else will. You need to establish that your business idea sounds as good to your potential customers as it does to you. First of all, you need to think about what type of people your customers will be. Take a moment to think carefully about who will buy your product or service. Now think about how many of your potential customers you can reasonably reach. If you're thinking of opening a shop, you need to consider how many of your potential customers will walk past your front door each day. And if you're thinking about starting a website, you need to estimate how many of your target customers have internet access. It can be very difficult to aim a new business at everyone. Start by giving some thought as to who your likeliest customers will be in your first year of trading.